Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report, or better known today as the Raw SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing last night's very unusual, Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. What is it that we can say about last night's Monday Night Raw? Well, actually quite a bit, folks, so I hope you're in the mood to listen to it, because to be perfectly honest with you, last night, as far as I'm concerned, the WWE proved that wrestling as we know it in the WWE is dead. Completely finished. And it's not because they've decided to just basically do away with the brand split. It's not because they decided to just give you WrestleMania rematches because they think that's what you want. It's because they fundamentally no longer understand what it is that fans want out of professional wrestling. And that's just as simple as that. And if you fundamentally do not understand what professional wrestling fans want out of professional wrestling, I find it very hard to believe you're going to end up giving it to them. So if you want some proof, let's just start from the beginning. First off, Roman Reigns had tweeted all day long that he was going to start out Raw. As if, now by the way, he's told to do this, as if this is going to make some kind of a magic difference. As if fans everywhere are saying, oh my God, Roman Reigns is a SmackDown guy all of 2 weeks, but he's going to start Raw. Must be something huge happening. What could it be? No, nobody thought that. Everybody thought, no, big deal. But nonetheless, I maintained the hope that, well, hey, he's starting out Raw for a reason. Maybe, just maybe, we're going to get something out of this. So what do we get? Vince McMahon hits the ring, welcomes everybody to Monday Night Raw, so it's going to be the greatest show in history, and everyone's going to remember it forever because he started it. And Roman Reigns' music hits. And Roman Reigns comes out and just basically effectively says, I'll show up where I want to show up. A couple of months ago, you lied to the fans, which is true, about them being the boss, and I've decided I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm just going to listen to the fans, so I'll show up where I want to show up. Except there's really no reason for him to show up on Raw, see. He doesn't say, and I'm showing up because I have this piece of unfinished business. No. There's no unfinished business. His feud is with Shane McMahon and Elias. They're both SmackDown guys. He has no reason. The reason is, I'm just going to show up wherever I want to show up. And Vince McMahon says, you have no idea the ramifications that could cause. People could just start showing up. And before he gets that out of his mouth, here comes Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan also has no reason to show up on Raw and says as much. Just basically says, well, I wanted to talk to Vince McMahon. Well, Vince McMahon is probably going to be equally present at Raw and SmackDown. I just wanted to talk to Vince. Okay, so you show up on Raw to do it. And then here comes Kofi Kingston. Now, let's just talk about this for a minute. Here's the head of the company, and he doesn't see any of these guys backstage, right? Nobody's coming to him saying, you do know that Daniel Bryan's here, and his music is cued, and his video package, and Kofi's here, and, you know. Nope. He's clueless. I know none of this. This is all a big surprise to me. Kofi Kingston comes down and basically says, if you had a problem with me, all you had to do was come to me. You don't have to come running to Vince McMahon. I don't know why any of this is on Raw. Actually, I do know why this is on Raw. It's on Raw because Vince McMahon and company have seen the ratings and they are in desperation mode. Desperation mode. Get all the top stars out there. Make sure everybody, that's anybody, is on both shows. So we don't keep sliding in the ratings. Here's the problem with that. No one is upset. Not one fan that I've ever spoken to is upset because there's a brand split or their favorite isn't on the brand that they like. You have two rosters packed full of people. It's not the people. It's not who you choose to show on your show. It's the way you use them. It's not that we don't want to see X, Y, and Z. It's that we want to see X, Y, and Z used in a better way. So just adding more people to the mix, that's not going to help. But we're not done. Then Drew McIntyre comes down. Says he has unfinished business with Roman Reigns. Well, last I checked, it's not unfinished. He got pinned clean in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3. Then AJ Styles comes down. I'm not making this up. If you didn't watch this, I'm not making this up. This thing ran very close to 30 minutes. Seth Rollins comes down. It's 30 minutes of this nonsense. 30 minutes. And what do we get out of it? Vince McMahon saying, I got an idea. Got a brilliant idea. Calling it the wild card idea. Any given episode of Raw, three SmackDown guys can be on Raw. Any given episode of SmackDown, three Raw guys can be on SmackDown. Later, he changes it to four. Okay, well, let's just assume that all four of them have solo matches. Then there's about seven matches on Raw. So more than half of Raw is now SmackDown, and more than half of SmackDown is Raw. So basically, the brand split is over. There's no reason to have a brand split. You've effectively ended the brand split. Now, here's the problem with ending the brand split. The reason it came into fruition to begin with and why it was an excellent idea is because it allowed both brands to highlight people who otherwise wouldn't get on television. If in one federation you have AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, all of these names, all these huge names, Becky Lynch and Charlotte, and by the time you got all of them in, there's no room. There's no room for the Apollo Crews. There's no room for the Shelton Benjamins. There's no room for the anybody. So by utilizing the brand split, your promise to the fans were, now we're going to be able to use our undercard a little more. Yeah, we'll have three or four top names, but we're going to have to utilize some of the undercard too. So you'll get to see what these guys can do. That was something I was greatly looking forward to. It never came to fruition for the most part, but I was greatly looking forward to that. Now, if you're just going to ship three or four people every week back and forth, we're not going to see that. The Apollo Crews, the Shelton Benjamins, the Chad Gables of the world, even, to be perfectly honest, even the Robert Roods and the whatever, they're gone. They're done. There's no spot for them anymore. How are you going to fit them in? So in their infinite wisdom, what the WWE has said was the fans want to see all the big names. That's what they want, and that's not true. The fans want to see you utilize the talent you have on your roster to the best of their ability and not waste them. That's what the fans want to see. You're incapable of seeing that, obviously. You just think, throw out the biggest names we can. So now you bury the undercard even more now. Effectively say we're burying the undercard completely now. And you think fans are going to be happy with that? They're just going to grow bored with the top stars. That's all. You spent 30 minutes to give us AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, versus Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley as an opening match. And I promise you, no one cares about Baron Corbin and no one cares about Bobby Lashley. No one. Whose fault is it? Is it Baron Corbin's fault? No. Is it Bobby Lashley's fault? No. It's your fault. Those are two big names. Don't you understand that in any federation, anywhere in the world, you could have a Bobby Lashley, you could have an EC3, you could have a Heavy Machinery, you could have a Drew McIntyre, and these guys would be top level guys because they would be used that way. And the fans would be interested in them because they're playing a pivotal role in the story you're trying to tell. But Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley are playing no pivotal role in any story that exists in the WWE. They are just generic heels. There's no storyline. There's no reason to boo them. There's no nothing. They're just generic heels. So the story of the match isn't, oh, wow, I hope that AJ and Seth can put their differences aside and beat these guys because it's important they beat them. It's, okay, when is it going to break down between AJ and Seth? That's all. That's all it is. We know. You disrespect us enough as fans saying we're not intelligent. Well, we know that much. We know what's going to happen. And sure enough, true to form, AJ Styles accidentally hits the phenomenal forearm on Seth Rollins, out of frustration, walks away. Baron Corbin gets the pin. Great look for your champion. Great look for your opening of Raw. This 45 minutes into the show. And at this point, regardless of whether we're staring down the barrel of Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre and Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan, both of which could be great matches, both of which are WrestleMania rematches, and both of which, with the proper booking, could be extremely important matches. I'm looking at Raw saying it's going to be a disaster. This is going to be an abject disaster because fundamentally the WWE thinks that the only reason you're not watching the shows is because the star power isn't there, without ever once realizing they have the ability to make anyone they want the star. And they're failing to do that. Had a conversation with a person who also has a show the other day, and his philosophy is, look, the fans wanted Becky Lynch as champion. She's champion. The fans wanted Kofi Kingston as champion. He's champion. The fans wanted Roman Reigns cycled down and not the champion. He's not the champion. Maybe it's the fans' fault. Maybe the fans just don't know what they want. Maybe the fans just need to realize that they can't have every single thing they want, and when they get it, they're not happy. And once again, he's not seeing the forest for the trees. It's not about who the champion is. It's not about saying, fans, who do you want to be the champion? Cesaro? Fine, Cesaro's the champion. My response to him was very simple. I said, I love pizza. And if you ask me, what would you like to eat? I will probably say pizza. I do not want it served in a box with dog shit. If you serve it to me in a box with dog shit, I'm not eating it. And effectively, that's what the WWE does. They give you what they want, or what you want, to a degree. But they serve it up to you in such an unappealing, unappetizing way that you cannot eat it. And then they say, well, you got what you wanted. No, we didn't. What we want is consistency. What we want is the ability to say, wow, you took us on a great story, and at the end, we got what we wanted. Not just randomly, here you go, then here's your champion. That's not what it's all about. That's not what wrestling's all about. Wrestling is about taking the fan on an experience, giving them a story, good versus evil, wrong versus right, dragging them along on this journey with whoever the person is that they're supporting. And then at the end, there's a conclusion to that. At the end, there's a payoff. It's not all about who the champion is. I would argue The Undertaker was one of the most popular and biggest draws of all time. He very seldom was the champion, because it wasn't about being the champion. It was about being utilized correctly and being put in storylines that we cared about, and utilizing his talents in the best way. So for someone to just blindly say, oh, they gave you what you wanted, you're still not happy, that's so far missing the boat. And I agree, sometimes fans can be fickle, but this is not about being fickle. This is about fans saying, yes, we are given some of the things we've asked for, but we're given them in the worst possible way to prevent us from actually enjoying it. It's almost like, there's no way to describe it. It's like pissing in somebody's Kool-Aid. It's fine, you gave them the Kool-Aid, but we're not drinking it if you pissed in it. The bottom line of the situation is the WWE has lost their ability 100%. I don't just blame Vince McMahon. I think Triple H is laughing his ass off, because I think he wants NXT to take over and be the big federation, and then he gets all the credit for it and not Vince McMahon. I've said that for 3 years. Triple H is doing nothing to help this situation. He's watching it go downhill and laughing. Because any fool can see that this is not good enough. Any fool can see that you are misusing all of your talent. You're not giving the fans anyone to really root for or cheer for or boo. And you think the solution is just throw more top names at them. Throw more top guys. Let them go back and forth. And all will be right with the world. Mike, I watched the opening of the show, and I said to myself that this could be it. That this could be the ruination of the WWE as we know it.
We've said it before about AEW. AEW don't have to be great. It just has to be better than the WWE to be good, you know. That's what it is. And look, I'll equate. We've talked about the whole buffet idea about wrestling. I got a better idea about it. When a woman wants to break up with you, and ultimately what do they do? And it's a trope, but it's a true trope. They go out and you meet them somewhere, and what do they say? They say, it's not you, it's me. Well, what the fans are saying to the WWE is, it's not us, it's you. So, I mean, that's the thing. Every time you get no reaction for a particular guy and no reaction for a particular girl or booing when they want you to cheer, it's not the fans, it's you, WWE. It's you. And it's like you're using 30 minutes on a 30 minutes to start out a show on a 3-hour show to bring out all these guys when you probably don't need to do that. So, yeah.
Not only do you probably not need to do it, you shouldn't do it, because now you've got a whole bunch of people in the back who say, I'm not getting a shot on this show tonight. I'm a Raw guy. When's the last time I was on television? When's the last time I got a main event? When's the last time I got a feud? You're not even utilizing the talent you have. Todd, a 30-minute opening without a single wrestling match to give us the information that from now on people can basically walk back and forth as they want. I truly think the WWE thought this was going to be earth-shattering and fans were going to be like, whoa, that's so wonderful. And that's why I really think this is tragic, because the WWE really thought that was going to be big. Instead, fans are just like, what? Who cares? That's even worse.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, I watched it last night from the open. It took, like, to me, it felt like it was an hour opening. Like, it was like an hour. Like an hour.
Went on way too long.
Or whatever. It's like, come on now. Normally, promos take like about 5-15 minutes, but this was like a 30 or 45 minute promo. Like,
it seemed that way.
Some wrestling here.
It was actually about 25, 28 minutes, but it seemed like it was an hour. It was ridiculous. And then it led to a match that really people were just ho-hum about, because Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin can pin everyone in the world, and it's too late. No one cares about them. It's not their fault. It's the WWE's fault. You've given us no reason to care about either one of those people. So then Sami Zayn comes out. And Sami Zayn basically says, well, I don't know what you got to complain about tonight. Really? Well, you know who wrote those lines, right? You've got Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. You've got Daniel Bryan going for the belt against Kofi Kingston. But I'm sure you'll still find a reason to complain. Then he starts to go on his tirade, which we cannot hear because the announcers have decided it's better if you hear them argue about whether Sami Zayn has any credibility or not. The announcers have become intolerable as well. The reason they become intolerable is they know this product is terrible. They're not idiots. And they're trying desperately to save it with anything they possibly can, including just interrupting the talent if they have to. This causes Braun Strowman to come out, which, listen, this is fine. It's about time somebody comes out to confront Sami Zayn. But what happens next is, I don't even know what to say. So Sami Zayn acts like he wants to fight Braun Strowman, but then he takes off. Braun Strowman chases him through the audience. And just so we have something to watch while this is happening, the Lucha House Party get in the ring with, I guess, three guys. I didn't see who they were in the ring with. Just three local talent guys, I guess. And we see bits and pieces of that while Braun Strowman is basically searching backstage for Sami Zayn, who's hiding because, of course, he's a wrestler, but he doesn't want to wrestle. And he catches him. And he throws him in the trash. And then the trash truck comes and, I guess, effectively kills Sami Zayn. So Sami Zayn is dead, I guess. Because that's what happens to you when you are thrown into a moving trash truck that's actually chipping up garbage, is that you would be crushed to death and you're dead. So Sami Zayn effectively, I guess, has been murdered by Braun Strowman, to which the announcers just shrug. Everybody shrugs and they say, oh, gee, that was a bad thing for Braun Strowman to do, you know. Yeah, you think? I don't know what to say about it. If Sami Zayn comes back from this, then I guess Sami Zayn is the equivalent of Braun Strowman who came back from this. Only Braun Strowman is supposed to be an indestructible monster who somehow can survive this, and Sami Zayn is not supposed to be. So I really don't understand where this is going to go, and if this is going to lead to Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman, raise your hand who wants to see that feud. And this is one more time where we just don't get it. We just don't get it. You got a ton of people on that show who could feud with Sami Zayn over a very basic premise. You could have any wrestler you want, any face you want to have pop out of that dressing room except Braun Strowman. Simply come out and say, Sami, why is it that we wanted to be pro wrestlers? Was it really because we love the sport and we think we could be great at it? Or is it because we wanted to hear the fans? We wanted to be that guy who stood on the turnbuckle while the fans were screaming and yelling. And you lost sight of it because you couldn't be that guy. You tried to be that guy and you failed. So now you're bitter and you're blaming the fans because you can't be that guy that when you were little Sami Zayn, you wanted so much to be. And I'm not going to let you take it out on him because you can't live your dream, because you could. If you're a man enough to just get in here and get it done, that's all. Then you got a great feud. You got a great logical feud with a guy who says, look, everybody does this for the adulation of the crowd. If you're going to sit here and tell me you're doing it for the competition, you're a liar. If you sit here and tell me you're doing it strictly for the money, maybe in time, but there was no money to begin with. So why did you get into this business? You got into this business so you could stand on the turnbuckle and hear the adulation of the crowd. And now you become bitter because you're not that top guy. You're not that guy that the fans love. And you wanted so desperately to be, Sammy. That's all. I don't know. Any one of these guys could do it that's popular. And let Sammy have a real feud. Instead, no. Let's feed him Braun Strowman, who he can't possibly hope to beat. And if he does, there goes the end of Braun Strowman. And let's throw him in a trash truck. That's on, by the way. So effectively, let's crush. I don't know. Have they written Sami Zayn off the show? I don't know what the hell's going on. All I do know, Mike, is once again, this is not the way you wanted. Again, they're going to say, we gave you what you wanted. You said somebody needs to shut up Sami Zayn. Yeah, but this is not the way we wanted, because there's no satisfaction in this. You're not going to see a great feud. You're not going to see a drama and a storyline played out. You're going to see Braun Strowman say, you want these hands again? And Sami Zayn saying, you're exactly what's wrong with pro wrestling. And no one wants to see this. So you're giving us, you're claiming you're giving us what we want, but in reality, you're not.
You're right. And that's the thing. I mean, you said it could have been anybody. I mean, we've asked the question all these last few weeks, where's X, Y, and Z, you know? Hell, it could have been Heath Slater. Not only could he have come back and said what you said, but he could have said something to the effect of, you're hurting my ability to feed my kids, you know, by doing this stuff, you know.
The bottom line is anyone could have worked, Mike. Anyone could have worked. Even if it was the first guy up lost. Even if the first guy up was Apollo Crews, who said, do you understand how hard I've worked so that I could just make these fans happy? You walked into this arena, Sammy, after your injury, and they gave you a standing ovation. They were so happy to see you. But you knew you couldn't live up to their expectations, so right away, you attacked them to make up for your shortcomings. And I'd love to be in your spot. I'd love to walk into an arena and hear the crowd react like they reacted to you. And so far I haven't, but guess what? That's not their fault. That's my fault. Then you have a nice little feud. Sami Zayn wins and you say, okay, somebody else needs to shut him up. Somebody a little more, whatever, has to. And eventually you get to a guy that will, whether that guy happens to be Seth Rollins or whether it happens to be AJ Styles or whether it happens to be whoever it happens to be. It doesn't matter. The idea is we get that long term storyline of they revealed Sami Zayn for what he is, a bitter guy who can't be the top most popular guy, and he doesn't understand why, so he's turned on the fans, and eventually somebody will shut his mouth. That's all. Now instead we get Braun Strowman, throw him in a trash can, and then be put into a trash truck, which would effectively kill you. So, I mean, if he comes back from this, Todd, what are we expected to believe? That Sami Zayn now is suddenly like Braun Strowman and can survive being trash compacted?
Absolutely not. It won't work, to be honest with you, having to come back as an indestructible little man right there. No, actually, it won't work. It did work on Strowman, but it's not going to work on Sami Zayn there coming back from a...
Of course it's not, and who the hell wants to see the feud anyway? You think those are going to be great matches? We then get to the part where I truly and honestly say, at this point of the show, folks, I came very, very close to turning it off. for the first time probably in 15 years. I said to myself, I can't do this anymore. Had it not been for the fact that I do this show every single week, I probably would have shut it off. Because out comes Ricochet, and we're told Ricochet is putting his opportunity to be in Money in the Bank on the line against Robert Roode. Well, here's the interesting thing about this as far as the WWE timeline goes. Ricochet was entered into the match after losing to Robert Roode. So the loser gets the perk. And then we're told, well, no, now, you know, because he lost, he's going to have to put it on the line. And if Robert Roode wins, he gets it. Now, as much as I am all for pushing talent, especially new talent, and as much as I think Ricochet can be a very, very strong addition to this lineup, if you're going to pull this and you're going to reintroduce Robert Roode last week or the week before, Robert Roode is brand new now. Got a mustache, the whole nine yards. He's on his own. He's a bad guy, and he is going to be someone we invest in. That's the message you sent. You let him beat Ricochet. So the message you sent was Robert Roode is now going to be a player in this federation. So naturally, when I see him come walking down, I'm like, well, he's going to find a way to get in this match. And that sucks for Ricochet, but I get it. And maybe that'll lead to a big feud with him and Ricochet. I don't know. Maybe he'll cheat somehow. He'll hold the trunks. The referee won't see something. Something's going to happen. But Roode's going to get in there because they've invested this new name and the new look, and they've given him a victory over Ricochet. So obviously they're serious about, you know, pushing him. So this will be interesting to see how they do this. How do they do it? 5-minute match, Ricochet wins. That's it for Robert Roode. And then you wonder why no one is invested in any of these characters. You said to us just a couple of weeks ago in your body language, so to speak, okay, folks, we're repackaging Robert Roode. He's now going to be a different Bobby Roode. He's going to look a little different. He's going to be a straight-up heel. We're going to do with him what we should have done with him to begin with when he first got here from NXT. And you'll see the real Bobby Roode now. And I said, okay, well, that could be all right. We'll see where this goes. How long did that last? 50-50 booking again. Because the WWE is falling all over themselves because we now have a dressing room, I guess, filled with wimps who say, I don't want to lose all the time. I don't want every time I want to lose. I don't know. I guess wrestling is dead. I guess it's just dead. I guess it's time that us old school guys who appreciated what wrestling used to be fully understood that the sport, the exhibition is dead. It's dead. It has been replaced with some kind of a weird, bizarre, everyone is equal, socialistic mentality that has destroyed any interest that could possibly be in this sport. When you, as a professional wrestling company, can't say, Ricochet is very popular. Boy, would Robert Roode get some heat if he screws him out of this match. And wouldn't it be interesting if we then have Ricochet run in during Money in the Bank and cost Robert Roode and really start this feud big time the right way? So let's have Ricochet lose, but under circumstances where you say that is total bullshit, he should have won. Hit his finisher, but there's no referee there. Count the three count. 1, 2, 3. Where the hell is the referee? You get up to find the referee. You shake him a few times and Roode hits you with his finisher. 1, 2, 3. And fans say, oh, that's bullshit. But now Roode's in the Money in the Bank and Ricochet isn't. And Ricochet, instead of being oh, I'm so happy to be here and humble, and I'm just hoping that everybody likes me, and I don't know, I hope I can live up to my reputation, and I'm so grateful for the chance. How about once he grows a set of balls and he says it's bullshit? Rude ripped me completely out of my opportunity, and I got news, he ain't winning. How about that? Because that's the correct move, because then you get heat on Rude, you get support and sympathy for the face, and a story is being told here. And the story that's being told is Ricochet deserved to be in this match, Rude got lucky, ripped them off, totally ripped them off, and now Ricochet's had enough and said, well, fine, go in the match, you ain't winning it. So you already know that Ricochet's going to keep his eye on Rude, so now we have that to look forward to. And probably a feud coming out of it. But no, instead it's, no, let's go 50-50. Didn't we have Ricochet lose last week? Yeah, okay, Bobby, you got to do the favor for him this week. So everybody's happy. And everybody's backstage going, it's all right. I win as much as I lose. Except when you win as much as you lose or lose as much as you win, fans don't care about you. Why do they not care about Baron Corbin? Because he loses just as much, if not more, than he wins. Why do they not care about Bobby Lashley? Because he loses just about as much as he wins. Now they're not going to care about Robert Roode because he loses just about as much as he wins. You can't have this. This was the one match, Mike, that told me everything I need to know about the current WWE mentality. It's not going to change. And what we're staring down the barrel of now is a whole new professional wrestling where everything and everyone is equal and there's no really bad or really good guys. And it's just a mushed up, nonsensical, watered down Kool-Aid crapola that I don't even know why anybody watches it at this point.
Right. That's right. And look, just for a little reminder to the people who are listening, go back to what you said on Sunday about what you would like to see with the Money in the Bank and how you would like to see the guys defend it. Well, when they said that the guy was going to defend his chance to be in the Money in the Bank, I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's exactly what Marcus was talking about. You know, that's exactly what he was talking about. And he said that, I'm going to go out there, we're going to have you defend your shot at being in Money in the Bank. Now, they screwed that up, but that's what you were talking about on Sunday.
It's exactly what I was talking about, and I was very happy to see it. But what I thought was, and again, well, here's what we got to understand. There's going to be Ricochet fans who say, oh, but then you wanted Ricochet to lose. That's dumb. He can't lose. He's new. He's got to be pushed as being strong. No, he doesn't. Because he is strong if you push him the way I say. He delivers his finisher. There's no referee in sight because the referee's been knocked down. Ricochet counts the three count. Count it twice. Then look around. What the hell is going on? Where's the referee? He goes over to the end of the ring to get the referee up and say, come on, come on, come on. In the meantime, Rude recovers. When he turns around, he hits him with his finisher, and that's it. How does that make Ricochet look weak? He won the match. He beat Robert Rude, but Rude outsmarted him, got lucky. And now Rude has his chance, and Ricochet's pissed about it. That puts the sympathy where it belongs. The sympathy always is supposed to go to the face. So there's your sympathy where all of Ricochet fans can say, that's bullshit. He was robbed. But you know he's going to try to get revenge. Because he tells you so. He says, I'm not letting this go. I may not be in Money in the Bank, but I promise you this. Robert Roode's not pulling down that briefcase. And we say, okay, well, we got something going on here, don't we? At least it's a storyline. The way we have it now, There was no point of even introducing the new Robert Roode. Why have Ricochet lose to begin with? Explain to me what good it did for Ricochet to lose, be inserted in the Money in the Bank despite losing, then have to defend it because he lost and then win. If you were going to do that anyway, you might as well let him have beat Roode from the beginning. Roode got nothing out of that victory, and Ricochet got nothing out of that loss. He got no sympathy out of that loss. Roode got no heat out of that victory. So you technically got nothing for it. So, Todd, there was no reason to even do it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, Ricochet didn't get no sympathy after the loss, and Roode didn't get no heat for that win. And I don't think it was no reason to do that match, and that match is already ruined. That feud is already ruined.
The whole thing, the entire thing, makes no sense. You're telling me Ricochet loses to the new Robert Roode because, quote unquote, this is the new Robert Roode, the guy we're putting some backing in. And that victory is going to mean something because you're like, whoa, wait a minute, he beat Ricochet, fair or unfair. He still beat him, and that means Robert Roode's going to be a player in this federation because Ricochet's nobody to sneeze at. Then next week you say, well, Ricochet's putting his Money in the Bank opportunity on the line against Robert Roode, and we're saying, ooh, this could get good. This is where this big feud's going to start. No, he just beats him back. And all of that good, positive heel heat energy you put into Robert Roode a couple weeks ago is now gone. And we are now left with saying, oh, no, he's still the same jabroni he used to be. We thought they were going to push him, but no, that's not what's happening. Makes no sense, Tom. Caller, are you there? I guess not. Anyway, none of that makes any sense. You're not going to convince me any of that booking makes any sense because it doesn't. It's this disastrous, ridiculous, self-destructive booking, and it's exactly why the WWE has no ratings, and they think it's because they don't have any stars. That's how out of touch they are. There's no saving it, folks, because they don't understand what's wrong. Lacey Evans then apparently sends invitations to everyone to come watch her beat a jobber. And all the girls show up instead of saying, oh, she can go fuck herself. No, oh, we all have to be there. We've all been given invitations to watch Lacey Evans beat some nobody up. So we'll all stand there like we're schoolgirls and she's the teacher and hear about not only watch her beat her up, but then saying, none of you girls, none of you nasties are going to win if you pull down the briefcase. Oh, God. The only good thing about it is Becky Lynch comes down and then there's a fight. At least there's a little bit of interest in this match. At least you're giving us a story. Even if the story makes no sense. At least you're trying to give us a story. So I'm not going to hate on this terribly. Was it nonsense? Yeah, it was nonsense. But at least it was nonsense geared toward trying to tell a story. So I'm okay with that so far. However, we then get to Rey Mysterio backstage. I don't know why. Once again, I thought it was only three people. How many people on SmackDown now? And more to come? How many people from SmackDown are on Raw? Anyway, Rey Mysterio's backstage. Here's another reason why PC nonsense crapola bullshit is killing professional wrestling. He runs into Heath Slater because I guess Heath Slater said, if I'm not on TV pretty soon, even just doing something, I'm just going to jump off the bridge somewhere. So they said, hey, Heath, you can be the guy that meets Rey Mysterio backstage and says, hey, Rey, I haven't seen you in a while, and give him a hug. And there's your big hope it was worth the flight. And Rey's with his son Dominic, who I think he sends for water or whatever. And the last thing we see is Samoa Joe stalking him. And I said to myself, oh. Well, let's see. This could get interesting, couldn't it? So we come back from commercial break, and I'm fully expecting to see that kid underneath a pile of tables, I'm fully expecting to see that kid, you know, ass over teacup somewhere, upside down, hurt, injured. People coming to get Ray saying your son's been attacked. Instead, what we get is Samoa Joe yelling at him. Your dad embarrassed me, and you tell him I want another match. And yeah, that's what I want, another match. Wow. You know why? Because you're a sniveling goddamn motherfucking coward, WWE, and you don't dare do anything to give Samoa Joe heat. God forbid Samoa Joe attacks Rey Mysterio's son, who's 2 feet taller than Samoa Joe. God forbid you show a heel do anything bad. And one of your sponsors will stand up and say, wait a minute. That was cruel. We don't abide cruelty in our brand, and we're not sure we want to sponsor your show anymore. Fuck you. Go sponsor goddamn Sesame Street then and leave wrestling alone, you motherfuckers. You're ruining the sport. And yes, I'm mad. I'm damn mad because I'm tired of it now. I'm tired of the WWE having to answer to every sniveling coward in the boardroom that says, do you think this is the best for our business? Then get out of it. Get your shares and get the hell out of it if you don't like it. I'm tired of answering to every goddamn sponsor who says, I don't know if this is the best representation of our brand. Then get out of it. I'm tired of it. You're killing it. Everything that they want to do is, well, I don't know, would that offend anyone? We're living in a South Park episode. Is this offensive to anyone? Yes, take it down. You think this would be offensive to anyone? Yeah, that one person in St. Louis? Can't do that. Got an 87-year-old grandma in St. Louis who said she's going to cancel the network. I don't know then. Then you can't have wrestling. Then you're not a wrestling federation. Give up. Let AEW do what they're going to do, which is destroy you, because, and they wouldn't destroy you. Here's the thing. AEW has about as much chance of destroying the WWE if the WWE was at full strength as I do destroying Godzilla. AEW is a bunch of SJW sniveling, whiny, pat themselves on the back, everybody's a hero type guys. I know exactly who they are. I know exactly what they're going to present. And it's going to be to that element of wrestling fan who isn't really a heavy-duty wrestling fan. It's going to be to that element of wrestling fan who says, we just come to see the precision of the moves. We don't care who wins or loses. It's not about that, man. It's about the athleticism and how wonderful they can do these moves. Then go watch the ballet, sissy boy. I'm tired of wrestling being G-rated. I'm tired of wrestling being a little children's activity. Or I'm tired of wrestling being force-fed us like it's a sport when it isn't. Can you imagine what would happen if Game of Thrones announced we're G-rated? All of our sponsors said, well, no more killing, no more torture, no more sex, no more nudity, no more incest. But can't do any of that. It's just going to be a story about some people, and they all want to have power, but they're not bad people. Well, then nobody would watch. That's all. Then nobody would watch. And that's exactly what's happening. And you could put as many stars on the goddamn show as you want, and they're still not going to watch. But they don't do that, do they? And you know what their excuse is? Well, we know going into it that Game of Thrones was going to be a very controversial and very adult show. And we decided, because of the great boost in ratings, that we're going to be a sponsor of this show. Okay. Well, then find those sponsors, WWE. Find those sponsors. Find those same sponsors who say, we don't care if Samoa Joe beats up Rey Mysterio's son. Find those sponsors who say, we don't care if Lars Sullivan chokeslams Carmella. Because that's what your federation needs. Your federation is so anemic and devoid of any excitement that it's like watching people sleepwalk. Nothing ever happens that you're like, oh, shit. It used to happen every week. Now we get nothing. And you think it's good enough. And you think, well, it's just because there's not enough stars. Bullshit. Because there's not enough excitement. You could have every star in the goddamn world. You practically do anyway. It's ridiculous. AEW didn't cause this. You caused it. AEW just simply saw the wound. That's all. Cody Rhodes was smart enough to say the WWE's hemorrhaging, which I said years ago. And he said that hemorrhage is going to grow and grow and grow and grow, and there's going to be a market for another federation doing something, maybe not to totally destroy them and take them over, but to take a good chunk of their audience and to make some severe money. And we can be that federation. Now, they've kowtowed to the fans who the WWE really don't play to. But in time, perhaps they'll kowtow to the fans that the WWE do. One thing is for sure. They're going to at least try to be your competition. And you're in such a tizzy about a federation who's held one pay-per-view that you can't get your shit together and tell your sponsors and tell your stockholders, we are going to be a little more aggressive in the way we handle our wrestling shows. If you do not like it, take your sponsorship and go sponsor a children's show. If you do not like being in the wrestling business, take your stocks and sell them. And go into, I don't know, children's pajamas manufacturing or something, and leave wrestling to the people who understand it, and leave wrestling to the people who enjoy it and realize what has got to be presented. You cannot make Death Wish G-rated, okay? You cannot make Die Hard G-rated. It's bad enough you're making it PG-13, and that's a whole other subject for another day. But this isn't even PG-13. This is G. I mean, it's terrible. So then we get the Bray Wyatt Funhouse thing, in which Mercy the Buzzard has apparently eaten the rabbit. I don't know where this is going. I don't know where it's going, and to be perfectly honest with you, I appreciate that Bray Wyatt and company are trying very hard to be intelligent and drop us clues and string us along that we should notice this and we should notice that, and we read between the lines and you'll see this and read between the lines and you'll see that, but we are so bored and so disenfranchised with the show, Bray, that we're not willing to do that. We just can't, because we know what's coming for you. And I'll tell you what's coming for you. You're going to march into that ring with a sweater vest, and you're going to lose to somebody within your first three matches. You're going to beat up maybe Apollo Crews, and then you're going to lose to, I don't know, Ricochet, I guess. And then that'll be it. And you'll be doing your funhouse and saying, I lost, but I learned a lesson, boys and girls. Yeah, I'm not up for it. I'm just not up for it anymore. In the perfect world where everything was running smoothly, this could be a great, tremendous, wonderful angle and a way to really promote Bray Wyatt as some sinister, bizarre, sociopathic, on the verge of a nervous breakdown type guy. But I see where it's going to go with the WWE. I force for the trees, man. Force for the trees. Pretty soon he's going to start doing live fun houses where my guest on the fun house will be Seth Rollins. Yay! And then say, no. I see where this is going. Mike, I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm so disenfranchised with the entire show, I don't think anything can save it.
I don't think anything could save it anyway. And we've said it before, you know, about SmackDown tonight. Now, I don't know if SmackDown's going to be any better, but SmackDown don't have to be much better than what Raw is to be good, you know. I mean, think about it, you know. And as far as you're right, Bray, we can see where this is going. And you're right about the other stuff, you know. You can't have Deadpool be PG.
Right.
It can't happen. Remember Batman, The Dark Knight? And how the guy was sat on top of the money and the Joker lit the money on fire. And they couldn't show what was happening at the top of that sack of money, because if they did, that would have made that thing, instead of a PG-13, that would have made it an R. Just from that little thing. They wanted the younger kids, the younger teens, to be able to see that thing. And that's the type of thing that the WWE used to do. They used to give you enough that you wanted to see what would happen next. The last few weeks, we wanted to see what happened next with the Funhouse. But again, like you said, they're probably on the way to ruining that thing. And as far as what they did with his son, Ray's son, you know, I didn't think about Ray's son getting beat up. When I saw what's his name hug Ray, I thought Heath Slater was going to get his ass beat. You know.
Well, could we not have had both? Could we not have had Samoa Joe grab? Say you didn't want to show. Say you said, "Look, it's going too far to show Samoa Joe beat up Rey Mysterio's son." I don't think it is, but let's say the powers that be say no, it really is. Then you say, "Well, how about this? How about he grabs him, puts him in the coquina clutch like he's going to choke him out?" Slater, who's walking by, sees it, attacks Samoa Joe. Joe beats the hell out of him, while Ray's son runs to get Ray, and you find Heath Slater all beat up and mauled. And then Ray could have at least say, "Well, he saved my son, and that would have been my son if not for Heath Slater, and I feel like responsible for it." You'd have a storyline, is what I'm saying. You got nothing here. Go tell your dad, "I want to put my belt up against him again." Okay, well, I don't want to see the match. The match has no heat. I don't want to see it. You've given me no reason to root against Samoa Joe or for Rey Mysterio, when you had it right there in front of you, but you're too chicken because you're afraid a sponsor or some old lady in Hoboken, New Jersey, petting her cat is going to be upset. I'm just tired of it. We are the wrestling fans. We deserve something. And it's not just names. That's the thing that bothers me. There's a group of wrestling fans out there that says, "Well, you're getting older names. What do you care?" I don't care if I don't recognize one of their names. If tomorrow the WWE said, "I'm firing everyone," you've heard of not one single person that we have on our roster, not one. But the first show is filled with all kinds of fleshing out of characters and exciting things and controversial stuff and stuff that makes me go, "Oh man, what the hell? I'm going to watch." Because those guys, I am assuming that everyone on the roster of the WWE is a qualified professional wrestler. Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing there. So don't expect me to be thrilled and amazed and jumping up and down like a monkey in a circus because you put on a good wrestling match. That's a given. You all should be able to put on good wrestling matches, and what the hell are you doing there? So now that's the given, that you're a good, qualified professional wrestler. Here's the not given. Give me a reason to care about you, one way or the other. Give me a reason to root for you or root against you. Give me a reason why I want you to come through in this feud or I want you to lose. because until then, all of your fancy athletic whatever, it's just a given. Of course you're good. You wouldn't be in the WWE. And that goes for everybody. Of course you're good. But it takes more than that. It's like saying, you know what this is like saying? Let's have a movie. Let's all of us make a movie. And we're going to hire the 10 top actors in the world and actresses. The very, very best. Okay, we're off to a great start, man. What a cast we have. What's the movie about? I don't know. They're going to walk around and talk, and maybe this one's you be mad at him over something and you fall in love with her, and I don't know. It's good. What do we care? We got the top actors in the world. We don't need a story. Fans are just coming to watch how good they're acting. Fans will just say, isn't it magnificent the way he squints his eyes when he says this line? Isn't it magnificent the way she utilizes her body language in this scene? No, they're going to be bored to death because there's no story. What are you, a moron? You can't understand that? WWE, you can't get that. And then there are fans saying, I don't know what they're complaining about. They got all the great matters. We got the unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we get Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre in a match that we all should care about because Drew McIntyre plays a great heel and Roman Reigns is a very sympathetic character now, but because you've just juiced that orange to death already, nobody does. And what's the conclusion? Shane McMahon and Elias jump on Roman Reigns, making it, I don't know how many now, how many guys from SmackDown? Basically the whole SmackDown roster. Two more guys from SmackDown. And they beat the hell out of Roman Reigns. And The Miz comes down to make the save, and he chases Shane McMahon all over God's creation backstage with a chair, and eventually Charlie Caruso pops up like somebody was playing with a jack-in-the-box. How she knew where he was going to be with a film crew, I don't know. Boom! Here's Charlie Caruso popping up saying, I know you're in the middle of running away from a psychopathic maniac with a chair, but can I ask you a couple questions? I just laughed out loud because I'm like, at this point, there's nothing else to do. You have one good segment over the railing where they're fighting by the limo. But again, what the hell? Shane McMahon is involved in two major feuds with two major WWE superstars on two different brands. And this is what's passing for your top heel. So the match really is nothing more than just a setup to get Shane McMahon some heat and Elias. And I'm saying to myself, well, this is a very weird thing because Drew McIntyre has been promoted as being much, much tougher than Elias. And the way you booked that match, Drew McIntyre was about to taste the three count. So if Drew McIntyre can't beat Roman Reigns, and certainly Elias cannot because he's not been booked to be able to be anywhere near as tough as Drew McIntyre, so how are we supposed to care about this, Todd? How are we supposed to care?
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's bad booking right there. They should have Drew McIntyre as a tough, forcible guy to fight, and he may only make and lose matches as a jobber. Come on now.
Listen. The only saving grace to this, I really thought for a half second, and then I realized what I was watching. I was watching the WWE who have no creativity. When Drew McIntyre recovered from the spear and saw Shane McMahon and Elias in there, I really thought for a half second, Drew McIntyre is going to flip. Drew McIntyre is going to take both of these guys out. Not because he likes Roman Reigns, but because he's going to say, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of every damn time I'm trying to get a match. There's interference. There's this. There's that. There's the other thing. I don't need any of you people. I don't want any of your help. I'm done. and become sort of that lone wolf. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Depends upon your perspective type thing. I really thought that's where they were going to go with it. No, instead, it was, no, that's okay. I'm more than willing to be on a team that beats people. I just, whatever. We also should say we got the Viking Raiders against the tag team champions, and the crowd was so quiet. You could hear a pin drop because no one cares about either one of these teams. You have the perfect opportunity to build up Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins as legitimate, real-life, outside-the-ring friends. People who really care about one another. You have absolutely the opportunity to do that week after week after week after week. You have the opportunity to make us care about Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. You won't do it. You won't do it. You won't give them any airtime. You won't give them any mic time. You won't give them any segments where they're outside the ring and they're doing stuff together. You won't push the buddy gimmick. You won't do any of that at all. You fill in the blanks. They're buddies. That's what we want you to know. You fill in the blanks. No, we don't want to fill in the blanks. You're the one writing the story. I don't buy a novel and then have them say, you fill in the blanks. We'll give you a scene and you fill in the dialogue. No. You do it. Give us a reason to care about Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, and it ain't hard to find one. But you can't. As far as the Viking Raiders are concerned, nobody cares about them. They're just like, yeah, gimmick team. Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. Next. So a good way to kill them. You've done a great job promoting them. Fantastic. Didn't help that you couldn't figure out what their name was going to be or their own personal names were going to be or any of that, and that you debuted them in a match where they had to sell. No, that didn't help at all. But whatever. We then get to the only real saving grace of the show, which is Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan. It was a very, very, very good match. You gave us a legitimate conclusion. I guess that's the end of this feud, which is great because that means Kofi's moving on. And maybe Daniel Bryan's moving on, and we can see something coming out of both of that, which is good. But that's it. That's all you gave us. The entire show, that's all you gave us. And today, there are people saying, I don't know, there was a lot of big stars on the show. I don't know why anybody's upset. Well, we're upset for three reasons. Reason one, the more stars you pack into a show, the more of your undercard you're not going to be able to utilize. Meaning that your brand split was for nothing because your brand split was supposed to push some of the people that the fans wanted to see pushed. The Heath Slaters, the Dillingers, who's no longer there, the Apollo Crews, the Shelton Benjamins, those type of people. We say, well, you're going to have to use them now because your rosters are going to be thinner. Going to have to use some of these tag teams, going to have to use some of these people. Eric Young, I haven't seen him yet. But Eric Young has been switched over. Well, where is he? You may never see him again. Because all of his spots are going to be taken up with SmackDown guys on Raw and Raw guys on SmackDown. So all of these guys who are marginal, I get on TV once every couple of weeks, guys are now going to be sitting in that locker room going, I don't know, man. I don't know if I have any fit in here anymore. If they're going to start bringing over guys like AJ Styles and Elias and Lars Sullivan and all these people, I don't know where I fit in. I probably won't. I'll get less time, not more. So that's not good. Number two, bringing these guys over are going to lack cohesive storylines. In other words, guys just coming over, you're not going to be able to flesh out a great story with them. So it's just going to show up for the shock value of, oh, there's a big star tonight on Raw that's a SmackDown star or vice versa. There's not going to be any cohesive storyline with it, which that's going to totally suck. And number three, you've actually now nullified the reason to even have the brand split, and that was just a month ago. You may as well at this point say we have an open door. We have SmackDown and we have Raw, but that doesn't mean you can't come to one or the other. Just do it if that's what you're going to do. You've wasted all of our time saying, oh, wow, look at the shakeup. Roman's over here. AJ's over there. This is going to set up a whole new series of matches. No, it's not. It's going to set up the same old matches because they're going to come over and fight again. So you're giving us nothing. And your solution to this whole entire ratings crisis from the very beginning has been too many wrestlers were injured, but now they're not injured, so let's get them all on one show. All the fans really want to see is top names. They don't care about storylines. They don't care about angles. They don't care about gimmicks. They don't care about a cohesive feud. All they care about is stars. Yeah, congratulations. Last night, the WWE died for me because I just don't see anyone I'm interested in. That's the problem. I used to be interested, very interested in AJ Styles. I don't care. He's a great wrestler. And given the proper booking and given the proper storylines, I would be more than happy to travel 100 miles to watch him wrestle. The way you're using him now, I don't even know if it's worth turning on the TV. He's probably going to turn heel. So what? Gallows and Anderson are leaving, so forget that if you think that's going to happen. They didn't even get the courtesy of having their match because the Usos decided to put itch powder or heat liniment or whatever the hell it was in the Revival's trunks because, of course, that is what fans want to see. Two qualified athletes flipping around because my dick's on fire. Because somehow we didn't know that there was crapola, which you probably smell, in our shorts. Yeah, that's just terrific. Terrific. Let's all turn it into a sophomoric, nonsensical, bullshit, crapola. There's room for comedy in wrestling, folks. There's plenty of room for comedy. That's not funny. It's just dumb. And you're using the wrong people. That's what the problem is. Would you have done that to the Viking Raiders? Would you have said, oh, guess what? The Usos put itch powder or hot heat liniment in their trunks and then had them flip all over the place? And if your answer to that question is no, of course not, then my follow-up question is why? And I know what your answer will be. Well, that would ruin them as serious. Oh, would it? Well, then what'd you just do to the Revival? This is how they treat people on the way out, so obviously the Revival is leaving. They've made fun of them as being sissies who shave each other's backs and guys who have to dance around on stage while their genitals are on fire and not even have a match, and that's why I say the Dean Ambrose thing is weird because they didn't treat him like that. They gave him a hero's going away. This Raw will go down in history. Vince McMahon was right, but it's going to go down in history as the day, the very day that you can mark, circle on your calendar, that the WWE as we know it died. Because from this point forward, the WWE is not going to be the same. And I'm going to be covering it because this is part of what I do. But I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to keep an open mind, and I'm going to tell you when something's good and when something's bad. But I have no more delusions that this is going to correct itself. I have no more delusions that they're just going through a bad spell and they'll work their way out of it. Because last night showed me very clearly they don't even understand the symptoms. They can't fix what they do not understand is broken. And their philosophy is it's all about names, not about quality or how we use them. And I promise you, the WWE should have learned their lesson with Kofi Kingston. How did you utilize Kofi Kingston? He was a third wheel on the tag team of A New Day. He very seldom got a lot of airtime on his own. He didn't do many matches on his own. None of that. He was hardly what you'd call the main eventer, especially as a solo performer. But you gave him a cohesive storyline, a reason for the fans to cheer, and look what you got. And you can't figure that out? Oh, we need big names. Was Kofi a big name? And now he's arguably your biggest name. Was Becky Lynch a big name? And now she's arguably your biggest name. Don't you understand what you're doing wrong? It's not about name recognition. It's not about how big the stars are. It's about how you utilize them. It's about how you take advantage of what they are to the fans. Find that next person. Promote the hell out of them. Find that next heel and promote the hell out of them. Until you can do that, you are not going to turn these ratings around. This was your big, we're going to turn the ratings around show, and everything you did was the exact polar opposite of what you should have done. And you've proven you do not understand why your ratings are down. So it's not going to end. Tonight, Shane McMahon is, I guess, just going to hand somebody the belt. I guess it'll be the B team, because I don't know who else it would be. He came out with them last week, and they're supposed to be buddy-buddy, so my assumption is he'll just hand the B team the belts and say, you're the new champions. That'll be fun, won't it? And then I'm sure a whole bunch of Raw guys will show up. And about 80% of SmackDown will be Raw this week, because that's going to be their big, wonderful ratings turnaround. SmackDown guys will be on Raw, and Raw guys will be on SmackDown. Okay. Yeah, boy. Can't wait. Mike, it's very clear they don't know where they're going. It's very clear that they're just blindfolded and walking down an alley, and I just don't see this getting better.
It is. It is weird, and that's the thing. You know, and we talk about logic the whole almost on every show, and how the logic of the WWE isn't there. And it's just the ending of what happened with Caruso and Shane McMahon. Caruso is what? All of 5'10", 190 pounds soaking wet, and Shane McMahon is what? 6'2", 240 pounds? Even at 51, a guy that small shouldn't have been able to stop. If Shane McMahon is running away from somebody, a guy that small logically should not be able to stop Shane McMahon.
Look, the whole thing is just down the tubes because there's no one who is able to identify the problem. There's no one who can come into the offices of the WWE and say, it's not the people you have on your roster, it's the way we're using them. That was clearly explained last night when Robert Roode lost his match. You gave the fans a signal when he came out with his new mustache and his new attitude and his new everything and beat Ricochet that this is a guy to watch for, fans. We're going to promote this guy. You're going to see a brand new Bobby Roode. It's not Bobby Roode anymore. It's Robert Roode, and you're going to see a difference. You're going to see more of that guy you saw in NXT, and we're like, okay, well, that's about time. Let's see where they're going to go with this. And it took 1 week for you to have him counting the ring lights, 1, 2, 3, and be a 50-50 guy. So why do we care about his villainy? Why do we care about his heel nature? He's a very easily beatable guy. That's obvious. He's going nowhere. That's obvious. So what's to hate? What's to hate with Baron Corbin? You don't even have any heels that anybody hates. You barely have faces that people like. You wouldn't if it wasn't for Seth Rollins. And if you don't watch where you're going with that, you're going to lose that too. Promise you. As we hear the Becky Lynch cheers getting less and less and less, I'm reminded that you're not handling her correctly either, because you haven't really given her that ultimate opponent. You haven't really given her that person that you say that's really the anti-Becky Lynch. The reason Stone Cold Steve Austin was so popular is Vince McMahon was the anti-Stone Cold Steve Austin. The reason he stayed popular when he fought The Rock is because The Rock was every bit his antithesis. He had his enemies. Batman has the Joker. Superman has Lex Luthor. You have to have those guys. Seth Rollins doesn't have anybody. Who's the guy? Who's the guy that puts Seth Rollins over? Who's the guy that you say, whoa, Seth Rollins is going to be in trouble fighting this guy? There isn't anybody. There isn't anybody. AJ Styles? Okay, but now you're going to say, well, AJ's going to maybe turn heel. Yeah, he's going to lose too. We know AJ's losing. So whether he turns heel or not is irrelevant. You've ruined AJ Styles even to an extent. We need these guys to have their antagonist. Ones we believe in. Ones we're scared that, oh, they might not be able to get by them. We don't have any of those, folks. We just don't. Does anybody believe Elias is getting by Roman Reigns? Come on. And the reason we don't have those heels is because of the politically correct nature of this entire federation. This is a federation who wants to be so PC, and yet they'll ship their asses over to Saudi Arabia while pretending we're trying as hard as we possibly can to be as PC as possible and not do anything to what. Well, then quit being a wrestling federation, because you're not supposed to be PC. You're supposed to break every rule of PC, every single one of them. Every single one of them. In a perfect world, Samoa Joe would have beat the hell out of Rey Mysterio's son. And Rey Mysterio would have freaked out like we never saw Rey Mysterio freak out before in his lifetime. And we would have said, whoa, Joe might have really crossed the line. And the announcers would have said, Joe might have crossed the line. I've never seen Rey Mysterio like that in my lifetime. Rey Mysterio has always been the consummate professional about putting on a good performance. He wants to kill Samoa Joe. And I don't know where the hell this thing's leading. This might have went a bit too far. In a perfect world, somebody would have come out and started a feud with Sami Zayn, who we knew probably wasn't going to win, but at least put him in his place for a time being, and we'll get to see what Sami Zayn can do in the ring before he's massacred by Braun Strowman. These are the things that the WWE could have done perfectly. Instead, they choose to go with the most PC, G-rated crapola they possibly can, because they are absolutely scared to death of one person calling a sponsor or one shareholder getting upset. And I just, for the life of me, don't understand how you can run a wrestling federation that way. And again, I keep going back to the example of Game of Thrones because it's so popular. Do you honestly think there probably aren't groups saying we don't want Game of Thrones on TV because they depict graphic sexual contact between related people? That's incest. I'm sure there are people who are protesting it. Guess what Game of Thrones is saying? Fuck you. Don't watch. Guess what Game of Thrones would say if a sponsor said, yeah, you got to cut that out. Fuck you. We'll go get another sponsor. In the meantime, the WWE is saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll fire that guy right away. We'll make him come out here and get thrown in the trash can. We'll whatever you want. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why? Why are you doing that? Because you've ceased to be a professional wrestling company, and you are now an entertainment venue for the masses. You want those children there. You want those big numbers of licensed action figures and everything else to go through for children, because that just means money for you. You are the equivalent of a death metal band saying, I will indeed do a cover of Baby, I Love You for the money. Not because I really like that genre of music. I hate it. Not because I'm interested in expanding my musical talents, because I'm not. But because the money's right. The money's right. So I'll sacrifice all of my creative and artistic principles and just go where the money is. That's what you're all doing. Don't believe me? You should read Mick Foley, who I've never been more disappointed in my life. Mick Foley says, hey, if the Saudi Arabian government wants to offer me big money, I'll fight the Undertaker at a Hell in a Cell in Saudi. Okay. Well, we know where your priorities are, don't we? Not, hey, you know, I'd do that one more time for the fans if it was at a WrestleMania, to just culminate my career. I'd do that one more time since the fans thought so much of it. No, fuck the fans. Fuck the fans. They ain't got no money. What do I want your lousy $50 for? I want that big old Saudi money. You want to give me $2 million to risk my life? I'll do it. I don't care if it's in front of people who don't know me from a hole in the ground. I don't care if it's in front of people who don't even speak my language and don't know what my name is. Who cares? I got that big fat paycheck. That's all that counts. So there you go. It's not let's do it for the fans. It wasn't when Shawn Michaels came out of retirement. Shawn Michaels didn't say I'm going to come out of retirement at a pay-per-view in Texas where I was, you know, my hometown, where I can show the fans some appreciation and say, you know what, I'm coming out for you guys. You wanted one more match, you got it. Nope, it's how much money will the Saudis give me? That much? Lace up them boots. Same way, I guess, with Mick Foley. Same way, I guess, with Goldberg. Same way, I guess, with everybody, because at the end of the day, I suppose that this is all about money. It's not about fans. It's not about what you want. It's not about anything like that. It's about who will give me the money. It's a shame. Because I remember a time when, of course, it's about the money, but it's also about really wanting to give the fans what they deserved. I really do. I remember a time when I would talk to certain wrestlers and they would say, you know, it's really important to me that I feel like I gave the fans what they paid for. Because if I don't, I feel weird. You know, I feel like I let people down. Now people laugh about it. Oh, fans, going out there and do what I do. If they want to watch it, fine. If they don't want to watch it, fine. It doesn't matter. My paycheck's the same. I don't know, folks. I don't know. What I do know is this. The WWE is a sinking ship. They're not going to go out of business. They're never going to go out of business because they've got great big Saudi money. They've got great big money from Fox. They've got great big money from all their TV deals and everything. They're not going out of business. I don't mean that when I say they're a sinking ship. They're going to be around. But they're not ever going to be the same again. Last night was the show that broke the camel's back. They are never going to be the same again. They don't want to be the same again. What you saw last night is as good as it's going to get. So if that's not good enough for you, then you just have to understand that you no longer fit into that demographic of what they consider a fan. Because what they consider a fan is a mindless zombie who sits in front of their TV set and says, WWE good. We don't care what it is. We eat what we're given. You be that guy. But I'm not going to be. I'm going to be here every single week holding the WWE's feet to the goddamn fire until they finally wake the hell up and give the fans something that they want. You're quick to give the Saudis what they want. You're quick to give Fox what they want. How about you give the fans what they want? Because without them, you don't have any of this. Without them, you don't have any of this. Mike, I think it's going to be a very long, hard summer in the WWE. I really do.
It really is. And look, we've said it before. One, AEW. Two, if TNA was on a better channel, TNA would be that second. Impact would be that second thing because they seem to have turned around. And look, as far as my grades, F.
Yeah, listen, it can't be anything else. It literally can't be anything else. And you're right about Impact. Impact Wrestling has done a magnificent job of utilizing the talent they have. They may not have the cream de la creme, the household names over there, but they're using them very, very, very well. You know, I was, and it's a good thing Mike brought it up. Give me a moment to just tell you about something I saw. Probably, I don't know, a few months ago, everybody remembers that Sammy Callahan blew a spot with I forget what his name is now. He was one of the used to be in a tag. Anyway, hit him in the head with a chair, a ball bat. Put a chair over his head, hit it with a ball bat, missed the chair, and basically just cracked him in the face with a ball bat. Total mistake. Was totally vilified by the business. Everyone said, Callahan is unsafe. Callahan blew that spot. Callahan absolutely should not have thrown that way. Inexcusable. All of it's true. All of that's true. Davey Richards, I think it was. And so Callahan, I'm sure, went back and apologized and uphill and down. And then cut a promo. And the promo basically said, I guess everyone is expecting me to apologize. Well, guess what? No apology coming. This is professional wrestling. I don't apologize for trying to beat my opponents. I don't apologize for things that I do in that ring. I'm the most dangerous person you're going to get in that ring with. And if you don't want to get in that ring with me, then don't. That's the perfect thing to say. In the world of the WWE, they would have forced him to say, to my deepest regret, there was a spot in that match where I wasn't thinking properly. I mean, at least Impact said roll with it. That's what the WWE used to do. Roll with it. We're not getting any of that, folks. Impact Wrestling is a better choice at this point than the WWE, by far. Not because they have better talent, they don't, but because they're utilizing it better. AEW does not have to be great. It doesn't even have to be extraordinarily good. As long as AEW can cohesively put together some storylines that make you care about who wins and loses, WWE is going to see their ratings drop even farther. Because guess what? No one is going to watch wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Nobody's going to do it. People got lives. They're going to start being selective about their wrestling, and they're going to say, Raw's never any good. I'll just skip Raw. I'll watch AEW on Tuesday, and then I'll catch SmackDown on Friday, and they'll recap what happened on Raw anyway, and that's good enough. And or vice versa, I'll watch Monday and Tuesday, and I'll skip the weekend, and they'll recap what happens on SmackDown last week, and you, one of those two shows is going to lose. Raw or SmackDown, if not both, one of them is going to lose out big time. And guess who's going to get blamed for it? The athletes are going to get blamed for it. Oh, you guys aren't doing your job. The AEW guys are eating your lunch. No. You're not doing your job promoting them. There's only so much wrestling a wrestling fan can watch. There's no bigger wrestling fan in the world than me, and I can't watch it all. I do the best I can to catch up with everything I can, but I can't watch it all. And now you're about to add more. So at some point, someone, somewhere, is going to get off the ship of the one that they don't enjoy. And say, well, I won't watch this one because if it's going to come down to this much wrestling, I'll just watch this. I'll catch highlights of the WWE online. And that's the beginning of the end. That's what happened to Impact Wrestling for a while. That's the beginning of the end. Todd, what's your rating this week?
Man, it was a disaster. I'm going to give it an F because it failed for me.
Listen, I have to give it an F too, and I'm giving it a very sad F, and the reason I'm giving it a sad F is because it could have been so much more. And it's not an F for the performances of the wrestlers. It's not an F for the effort that they put out. It's an F for the company itself, the WWE, basically saying, we don't know what fans want. We have grown blind to what it is to be a wrestling fan. We cannot imagine putting ourselves in that seat and looking at that ring and saying, what would make me want to come back?
Because really, it's just that simple. That's all you have to do.
Ask yourself, Vince McMahon and company, please ask yourself, would you root against Bobby Lashley? Why is Bobby Lashley such an evil heel that the fans should be rioting? No reason. Why is Baron Corbin such an evil, masterful heel that fans should be rioting? Can't wait to see him get beat. Ask yourself, you're a fan, you're sitting there in that arena, why? Why would you boo Baron Corbin? Why would you be happy he lost? Why would you be anticipating, can't wait till he loses when he loses all the time? Or Bobby Lashley, why would you do that? Put yourself in that seat. You're a kid who saved up his money from mowing lawns or doing whatever the hell else, and he spent 50, 60 bucks plus cab fare, bus fare, or got his parents to drive him, or whatever the hell else you had to do, gas, food, everything else, to put himself in that arena. Not some fat Saudi sheik who says, do you think you could bring over the Ultimate Warrior? Because he doesn't even know the Ultimate Warrior is dead. I'm talking about some kid who saved his goddamn paycheck so he could go to a WWE event and be entertained, and he gets a big pile of steaming shit for it, and then is told he doesn't deserve any better. That if he don't like it, it's his fault. I've about had it with the WWE. I really have. Last night was the icing on the cake. We have a caller who might want to give a rating. Caller, are you there? No, he's not. Okay. Well, look, F across the board. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when I can tell you there is nothing on SmackDown tonight I could possibly look forward to seeing. I don't care who the new tag team champions are. I don't care if Shane McMahon has the announcer stretch out his vowels when he says, best in the world. I don't care. I don't care if Rusev and Nakamura lose another match. I don't care if Raw people invade it. I just don't care anymore. You've given me no reason to care. So I'm going to watch it as a basically a non-wrestling, a non-WWE fan, because I'm not a WWE fan anymore. You've given me no reason to be one. Win me back. I'm watching your product. I'll watch with an open mind, and I'll be fair. I've always been fair. Win me back. Because if you lose me, you know, there are people who know me in real life who say, if the WWE loses you, you're the most diehard, never-quit wrestling fan I've ever seen in my life. And if they're losing you, then they're in utter collapse. Yeah, they are. They're in utter collapse. It's a house of cards and the wind is blowing, folks. So win me back. By SummerSlam, let's see if I'm excited about what you got going on. Let's see if anybody's excited about what they got going on. And for the benefit of all of the fans out there, we're doing this to try to better what the product that you get. Because if you just keep saying it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's not going to improve. Don't let your voices be silenced. You deserve better than this. At the end of the day, you're the foundation of the WWE. Don't let them believe that Fox is. Don't let them you believe that Saudi Arabia is, or that any other their other business ventures are. You're the foundation. Without fans, without people that buy their stuff, subscribe to their networks, go to their shows, tout their nonsense, they have nothing. And it's time they remember that. We'll be watching for SmackDown tonight, and I'm expecting zero. So if it's a better show, I'll be very happy to come up here on Friday and tell you, hey, you know, some stuff improved. But I have a feeling we're about to see disaster number two. And I don't know if that's a disaster number two that the WWE fan base can really survive without walking away. I see more and more people every day walking away from this, folks. We'll see you on Friday with a SmackDown report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.